Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Dave Orsborn. Welcome again, Dave.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
We continue our conversations on the Incarnation in this Advent season, but let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we rejoice in the joy of Our Lady's visit to Elizabeth. We ask that You visit us, that Our Lady, through her intercession, makes the presence of Christ vibrant and alive, that we might encounter Him anew this day. We ask this through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Dave, you know, we've talked about the Nativity, the birth of Christ, and, of course, the Annunciation, which is the moment of the Incarnation. In between these great mysteries is the Visitation, where Elizabeth, after having gotten this great news, good news, we might even say, rushes off to visit Elizabeth.
With haste.
With haste.
Yeah.
With haste. You know, the initial kind of thing I would mention in that is, one, I do think this will, we can talk a little bit more about the role of the Holy Spirit, because He's a big character in the Visitation. But one of the things that I think we have to keep in mind is, you know, Mary goes to bring this good news, and the Greek that's used is evangelion,
right?
Evangelization.
Yep.
This really is the first example of evangelization, which is why, as I said earlier, the Annunciation is really the birth of the church. Because
yeah.
and the church's first mission, what is the church's mission? Well, Paul VI tells us it is evangelization. He says in even Evangelium Nuntiandi, an important document. Probably the most important document that Paul VI put out, that the purpose really of the church, her first mission, is evangelization. And we see that the church is founded in Our Lady at the Annunciation, and immediately she goes on mission to spread the good news that Christ is present and has come.
It's one of those both and moments,
yeah,
too, where the Spirit is driving. Yeah, you know, you just get that sense that the Spirit is driving Mary, mm-hmm, to share Jesus, and so she's doing it because of who she's bearing.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also just a love for her family that's compelling her.
Yeah.
So she's being attracted also by Elizabeth and her miracle that's, mm-hmm, occurring. So there's being compelled, being driven, but then also being attracted. So it just seems that because Mary is full of grace and is completely docile to the working of the Spirit, mm-hmm, that's the only reaction, right, that you could make at that point, is to evangelize. There's a need there. Her family needs her, and the Spirit is driving her to fulfill its mission.
Yeah, you know, there's something contagious about the presence of Christ, that when He has entered into our life and filled us with joy, then we automatically want to spread it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to let other people know. But, you know, the other thing that strikes me, too, you know, and it is, you know, on the one hand, we can say that it's the Holy Spirit and this intention of spreading joy. There is these natural bonds. You know, Elizabeth is her kinfolk,
mm-hmm,
you know. They probably had a pretty good relationship, you know.
Right.
There is a sense of friendship there, certainly of family, that, you know, oh, I want to go and help my cousin, or I want to spend time with my cousin, or, you know. But I, you know, I also think, because, you know, Our Lady finds out that something pretty big has happened with Elizabeth, too.
Right.
And quite miraculously, you know, in her older age, she's conceived, even though her and her husband have gone this length without having any children. You know, so I almost, you know, it almost also points to me to an important part in our life as disciples, and that is also the need for mutual support.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that each of us carries within us some pretty amazing things that the Lord has done, which is part of the cause of our joy. And it's good to kind of share with each other what the Lord has been doing, to recognize. And that's what I think the other thing is, you know, I mean, Elizabeth has a lot to brag about, from, you know, but right. she's still kind of humble in, you know, in the face of Our Lady, you know. You know, all generations will, you know,
right.
and all these things, you know, blessed are you among women and all of these things. So, but I think it almost gives us a pattern also for Christian friendship too.
With Christ at the center.
Yeah.
There's no way not to bring Christ into the situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Mary, it would have been physically impossible
yeah.
not to bear Christ. You know, so Christ is right at the center of the incarnate God, is right at the center of this entire interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done so beautifully how in the Magnificat and in, well, Elizabeth's recognition that mm-hmm. Mary's bearing God, and then Mary's response with the Magnificat, you know, the Lord has done great things for me,
mm-hmm.
and my soul magnifies.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, in this conversation among friends, among family members, where it's just an overflowing then of joy in recognizing that God is with them. So
yeah, it's almost, you know, like when two voices join together, you know, it's, they're much louder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they join together in harmony, they're much louder than, say, one voice, or much more beautiful than just one voice. I think that's almost the sense, is that they kind of, Elizabeth and Mary kind of harmonize together, and, you know, their joy becomes even more.
Which, oh, I forgot John the Baptist.
Yeah.
You know, he's another key player here in
yeah.
this also.
Yeah.
So right away he responds also. So he joins kind of this chorus
yeah.
that's going on. So
I think that it is the key, you know, as much as the Lord has done for us individually. And of course, we all need a personal encounter, and we need to kind of personally accept Christ and make that decision for ourselves of faith. But we also need companionship, and we need friendship, and we need the church, really.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the church is founded with that one person, with Our Lady's yes, it's not just a one-person church. It automatically, we see in the very next scene that there, we need community, we need other people to intensify our joy.
Yeah, and that's where... also to bring in, you know, the widening circle of the active participants,
mm-hmm.
when you have Joseph
mm-hmm.
and Elizabeth's husband,
yeah,
Zachariah, and the roles that they're playing, in still Christ is at the center,
yeah,
and from Mary then kind of emanates this love and just, as she says, her soul, you know, is magnified.
Yeah.
And how can that, so you just have this widening circle of people that are attracted
mm-hmm.
and that she's drawing in and building up this community, the first community around
yeah.
the incarnated Christ.
Yeah. It's, you know, another thing I think would add is, you know, with John the Baptist there. Now, of course, you know, there's some special graces going on in John. You know, he's not some ordinary child. But I do think that, you know, Elizabeth bearing John the Baptist, the, you know, sort of the contagiousness of joy and the Holy Spirit from a mother to a child, you know, that... And it's really, I think, a good maybe model or example of Christian parenting that,
mm.
you know, that really the children receive their joy, they receive the gift of faith from their parents, and to make sure that we're kind of communicating that to them.
Well, and that's a story that's going to be retold, throughout both, with Mary and Joseph telling Jesus about the trip to visit Elizabeth and John. And then that's repeated to John about when Mary came with Jesus in her womb.
Yeah.
And what a divine appointment, what a special encounter that was.
Yeah.
And then both, John and Jesus would share that story on their own, mm-hmm. With their disciples. It's one of those fire talks, around the campfire, talking about that first encounter.
So the visitation is this, it is intimately connected to the incarnation at the Annunciation. It also, I think, shows to us the coming of Christ by means of the Holy Spirit and Our Lady. It is something like, even in our evangelization, in the life of the church, in the life of the family, it's the incarnation is this sort of pattern that keeps happening.
All the way to the cross,
yeah.
Right? I mean, Mary brings, you're talking about the church, and when Jesus offers John to Mary and Mary to John, mm-hmm. there's that continuation then through the culmination of the incarnation, mm-hmm. right? Is that the right word to use there? I mean, where that love is perfected, mm-hmm. I guess is another way to say it, on the cross.
Ultimately the incarnation points to the cross. And of course the cross is made possible, but it is in the cross, we say, is really the summation, I would say,
right,
of Christ's life. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me has been Dave Orsborn, and then until next time, peace and all good.